D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And, of course, we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Great conversation, great reaction to our Nico Iamaliava discussion in the first hour. Ask D-Mace coming up at 12:30. So if you have questions for Derek, you can start texting them in now at 615-737-1025. But before we get there, I found an interesting report on ESPN.com. Headline: 2025 NFL Draft, latest news and questions for all 32 team picks. So, of course, I didn't have to go very far to find the Titans because they're picking number one. They were at the top of the list. And there was a blurb in there from Teron Davenport. But then there was also this from Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. What we're hearing about the Titans draft, quote, all signs point to Cam Ward being the pick at number one. So the thing to watch is what the Titans will do on day two. They're lacking a third-round pick due to the LeJarius Sneed trade last offseason and need a receiver to complement Calvin Ridley. Expect Tennessee to be aggressive in adding a wideout, possibly with a trade up from number 35 to target a player such as Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State or Luther Burden III from Missouri. So I found that to be interesting about this idea of trading up from 35. Mm-hmm. The Titans need more picks, not fewer picks, which they would have to give up to move up. But Mel Kiper, in his latest mock draft at ESPN.com, had both of those receivers available to the Titans at number 35. He had Jacksonville taking Egbuka at number 36 and the Patriots taking Burden at number 38. So maybe the Titans don't have to move up to take one of those, but one of those wide receivers. But Derek, what do you make about this report? Expect Tennessee to be aggressive at adding a wideout, possibly with a trade up from number 35. To target a player such as Emeka Egbuka or Luther Burden III?
I think you have to believe it to be true, because where they are at that position, they have one guy. And listen, Vance Johnson Jefferson has been in this league for I think 4 or 5 years. He's won a Super Bowl with the LA Rams, and he played during that Super Bowl season, and I think even in a Super Bowl. So he was a contributor. You know, to their success. And we watched him here, you know, locally, and then go off to Ole Miss, I think it was, and perform well there. So he's a good receiver. But the Titans need a upgrade at that position. I think some of the young guys that they have, I wish this regime give those young guys a true opportunity to show what they can do. I really do. Because I like the kid Jackson. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. But they need a number two at that position. They need someone that can be the number two now and cycle into the number one. They need that guy, because if you look at all these outside of Patrick Mahomes, and he's something different. And he even has, you know, Travis Kelce and then Xavier Worthy, who's considered the fastest guy outside of Tyreek Hill. And he shows he's going to be a playmaker if he stays healthy in this league. So it seems like every top-notch guy has a receiver or a tight end. Or two, the Titans need, because the arms race has started, okay? And you know when the arms race started? Is when Cincinnati signed both Chase and Higgins. That's when it officially started. Because now you got two guys that are number ones, one team. Now you better up your game. You know, Minnesota's doing a great job. I think they're going to be one of those teams. You got to try to stay ahead of the curve. So you need a bona fide guy, whether it's Luther Burden, who I think is coming for a visit right before the draft.
I believe that was reported by Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports.
Yeah, so he will be here. So if you got a chance to get a Luther Burden the third, or
Emeka Egbuka. It's easy for me to say.
Emeka Egbuka.
Yes.
If you want to get him.
Mecca Lekka High, Mecca Heine Ho, for all of you Pee Wee's Playhouse fans.
Pee Wee. Yes. If you got an opportunity to get him, get those two guys. Get him. Here's another guy that may be falling. You may even be able to get him in the fourth or fifth round. I don't know, fourth round. But they're only allegations, and I want to see what comes out. Isaiah Bond, I think the kid out of Texas.
Yes.
Things are circulating about him and, you know, alleged things that he's done recently, allegedly, off the field. So that may drop him. I hope it comes out to be not true. I really do. So if it comes out to be not true, he's another guy that will be sitting there that you could potentially, if you want to move up into the third round, to get a guy like that. But you need a guy opposite Calvin Ridley that can segue into that number one spot.
Willie, I was reading a story from Aaron Schatz at ESPN. I know how much you like Aaron Schatz's work. And he ranked the NFL draft wide receiver prospects using what he called the Playmaker Score, which is done annually by Nathan Forster. It analyzes the player's peak college season along with other variables, including ESPN's Scout Inc. ratings, to project a player's receiving yards per year in his first five NFL seasons. It also notes similar prospects from previous drafts, and similar historical prospects are based on players with similar playmaker statistics. So I thought this was interesting. Number five on his list was Emeka Egbuka of Ohio State. And I think Derek might get a kick out of this as well. One of Egbuka's similar historical prospects, according to this formula, is Kevin Dyson. What do you think about that?
That's a comparative?
Yes.
I mean, I thought Kevin, listen, everybody understands. I think people just look at how Kevin's career ended. He had that catastrophic knee injury. His second year, Willie, or it was third year, I think. It might have been his second or third year where he had that knee injury.
I remember when it happened.
Yeah, I don't think he would ever got back to what he could potentially have been because of the knee injury. Now, he played well once he came back and was fully healthy. He played well, but he also dealt with some injuries. So prior to that, I thought Kevin was going to be a hell of a receiver. Like, I was watching him real time. Everything that he did was trending toward being a close to an elite receiver, if not that. What I was seeing on the practice field, he was just starting to pick up the game, and then he gets hurt, so his career is derailed. So that comparison, I take that comparison, but I'm not taking it because of what Kevin didn't do in the NFL. I'm basing it on what I saw early on and what he could have been.
So I admire about Aaron Schatz is he tries, and he and his group, you know, they're not talent evaluators. What they do is they try to find statistical things in college and see what translates the best in the pros. So it's not, you know, how fast does he run the 40? What does he look like at the combine? What did you do in the shell drill, or, you know, all the cone drill, all these things. But they try to say, what did the guy's numbers tell us in college? And it's still a work in progress, because if they'd figured out, then it'd be a lot easier to figure out who to draft when. But getting back to the original question, I'll tell you, I don't like the idea at all of trading up.
I don't like it either.
I like the idea of taking that second pick. If you're going to draft at number one and not trade out of that spot, which it looks like that's the direction it's heading, if we're going by the razor, right, mm-hmm. Occam's razor,
yes,
we think that that's the explanation. They're just going to take Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Then the second pick is where you might have a chance to get that third round pick back. And I don't know if any of these guys – look, that's where your scouts, your numbers, your analytics have to be really good. Mm-hmm. And they can all be good. Just like you said, D-Mace, I think – look, Kevin Dyson was famously picked before who in the draft?
Randy Moss. So he will always be compared to that.
Right, and that was always the tag. Well, they could have had Randy Moss. Of course, Randy Moss, there was a lot of reasons why he slid down mm-hmm. like he did. Otherwise, he would have been right at the top of the first round.
They probably wouldn't have been able to get him anyway.
Right. But they chose Kevin Dyson. And Kevin Dyson, I agree with you, D-Mace. It was his third year mm-hmm. after his first year not really making an impact at all. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's where everybody was looking at. Randy Moss is lighting it up. And the guy we picked isn't even playing half the time.
But we ran the ball more times than we threw it.
Right, but he wasn't really in the rotation very much his rookie year. Then the next year he had a solid year you know, not great, but good. Mm-hmm. And he looked like he was on the rise. Then he tore the ACL. So you can do all your homework. And I think that they drafted a really good wide receiver that was going to be a good pro, but what happened, happened. So you can have everything right, and still it doesn't pan out. But the more, I still go back to the dartboard, the more darts you have to throw, the more chances you have of having more good players. So I'm trading out of the second. I'm trading out of that pick, whatever it is, 33, I guess it would.
35, I believe.
35. I want more picks. I want more picks. I'm trading down, not up.
If I'm not trading, I'm not sure if I'm trading, trying to trade, and that's what it would essentially be, trying to trade back up to the first round, because I think even though you're essentially getting, you figure I'm getting my second round pick, I'm still getting that second pick, but I'm moving up. Now, what will it cost? I think it'll cost more for you to move up into that first round, unless you're moving like, hey, give me, you know, even that, because you would be potentially taking away an individual's first round pick and then giving them your second. And what if they don't have a second? They're obviously not going to do that. But if they have a second, then it'd be better for them. But what I'm saying is this: it will cost you more to move up to the first round. And the Titans are not in a position to move up in the first round. But I'm with you, Willie. If I see that Burton and Emeka and maybe another receiver, they have the potential to at least get past the first three or four slots in the second round, I'm more inclined to do that, to know I'll still be able to get one of those guys, but also pick up another pick.
So what's interesting about this playmaker score that Aaron Schatz uses, he notes in this story, the 2024 playmaker score projections for the wide receiver class came out very well. We had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas as the top receivers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., and both finished top two in rookie receiving yards. He then writes, do not expect as much out of the 2025 class, however. This is not a strong wide receiver group. Last year, 13 receivers had a playmaker score of at least 400. There are four in the 2025 class, and one of them might not even play full-time wide receiver in the NFL. That, of course, is Travis Hunter. So the four players, the four receivers that have a playmaker score of over 400 are Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, and Luther Burden. Emeka Egbuka just outside at 377. But I did think this was interesting about Egbuka in this story, and I want your guys' opinion on it. Quote, historically, there's been a big difference in the NFL performance between players who come out early and those who don't. If their college metrics are similar, the players who come out early almost always have better NFL careers. However, there is a reasonable basis for questioning whether this is still true. In the past, top prospects came out as soon as they could make money in the NFL, or they came out as soon as they could to make money in the NFL. Now players might stay in college an extra year for a lucrative NIL opportunity, so these four receivers and seniors going forward might be slightly underrated by playmaker score. So he mentions that the top four receivers on the list are juniors: Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, and Luther Burden. The following four, starting with Egbuka, are seniors. So that idea of players who come out early and those who don't, if their college metrics are similar, the players who come out early almost always have better NFL careers. Anecdotally, do you think that's true?
I mean, I think how far back is he going? Because I think the athlete has changed tremendously. And, you know, just because you're not drafted in the first round or have first round grade doesn't mean.
So this playmaker score algorithm looks at Division I wide receivers drafted in the years between 1996 and 2023.
Okay. So that is a.
And we know there's a wide range of Division I,
exactly,
right?
That's
Louisiana Tech versus Michigan State versus Vanderbilt versus Boise State.
So it should have been narrowed
that's
down
hard.
To the Power 4 or Power 5. Or
it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard to translate.
Exactly. So depending on what school that person was at, you know, it's going to vary. But listen, whether you I get the playmaking numbers, and you know the numbers have seemed to sort of played out sort of similar to what the initial number was, how they performed in the NFL. And listen, some guys just don't, for whatever reason, don't get an opportunity to show that they can really play. Or they're put in such a box that they have no room to move outside of that box. It's like they think this is the way they think of you, and they're not going to think anymore. So it just depends. The great ones are going to be great no matter what. I think that has been shown. Those guys that produced and was highly productive in college, meaning they were considered, you know, the top of the cream of the crop, those guys tend to perform well when they get in the NFL. That's just the way it is.
Well, we can look. Willie took rocks for jocks. I took 11th grade math my freshman year in college. We're not math majors here. We're not experts at this sort of stuff. I love digging into these numbers, but let's just look at these prospects for who they are. And as I said, what's interesting about this idea, according to Matt Miller, of the Titans moving up from 35 to draft Egbuka or Burden is that Mel Kiper had both of those receivers available in his mock draft to the Titans at 35. Egbuka went 36, Burden went 38. When you look at this team, Derek, and we're going to assume it's Cam Ward under center and Calvin Ridley on one side, Egbuka or Burden, from what you've seen of those two players on the field, which one do you think would work best here? Which one do you like more?
I think I'm going Luther Burden. One reason, and Emeka may have done this in college. I don't think he did. He may have, at least early on, is his punt return, his return ability. I think Luther Burden has a really good punt return ability, and that's something that the Titans are missing, a true punt returner. So he can double as your second receiver and your primary punt returner. But I think he fits this offense better because he is a guy that is sort of a Swiss Army knife in a sense. And listen, Emeka plays that slot, and his route running is exceptional. I mean, I don't know what they're teaching Ohio State receivers up there, but all of them coming out, they come out of college knowing how to run routes. They may not end up being the best receiver out there, but when you look at their route running, it's like, man, do y'all take master classes in running routes and deceptive, showing that deceptiveness in your route running? Because they all do it, majority of them. But he hasn't, I don't see him as a guy that can flex outside just as much as he can flex inside. I see him as that guy that's playing inside. You're going to motion him down, try to get a mismatch. He got good speed. I see Luther Burden as being an outside guy. I think he could be an inside guy. I think he could do a lot more with him and use him as your primary punt returner. That's why I would take, because it's not just the offense that I'm looking at. I'm looking at where else is the Titans deficient in? Well, their punt returner. Well, he can double as your punt returner and your second wide receiver.
Burden's situation is interesting to me, Willie, because I remember before the college season, Burden was considered one of the top overall prospects in the NFL, if I recall correctly. Now it appears that he could fall out of the first round completely. So if the Titans are able to pick him at 35, it would seem, on paper at least, that it would be quite the steal.
Yeah, I think that would be the interesting thing, is if they're really interested in one or the other, and one or the other is sitting there after the first night of the draft, is what to do if you really, really want one of those guys. But I still think, big picture, the percentage play is to move down and get more picks. I could sit here and tell you I watched both of those guys play in college. I did. A few games. The thing that strikes me about Egbuka is he was on a team that had great playmakers all over the field. And so I don't think teams were going into every Saturday against the Buckeyes and saying, we've got to stop Egbuka. We can't stop Egbuka. We've got to take him out. Because they had, if Egbuka didn't get it done, they had three or four other guys that could be the best player on that day. I don't know how that translates. This is the mystery of evaluating college talent.
615-737-1025. It's time for Ask D-Mace at 615-737-1025. Call us, text us. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our phone lines are open. Derek is patiently awaiting your questions. 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace. Hi.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is time for Ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Let's just get to this one off the bat from an unnamed texter. Okay, Derek, how can I get a text read on your show? Congratulations, it happened.
There you go.
Let's go to Dylan. Check. On our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Dylan, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. So this is kind of a two-part question, and it's for D-Mace and for really you guys too. But so for a young quarterback, which is more important? Is it better for the Titans to draft a receiver or a tight end? And whichever route they go, is there a player in this draft who – isn't necessarily, I guess, the ultimate best at their position, but the one that would mesh the best with Cam Ward. You know, Kelce and Mahomes, they have a connection because when Mahomes is off platform or he's extending plays, Kelce always seems to find holes in the defense. He's always, you know, he finds a way to get the ball when the play breaks down. So is there a player in this draft, whether tight end or receiver, that is also really good at doing that, which would help Cam Ward and his style? And that's my two-part question, guys.
Thank you for the call,
Thank
Dylan.
You. This is interesting because no one has talked about this, and I'm not sure why they haven't. Maybe because this position isn't sort of as deep as other positions are. And, you know, listen, it's not like the wide receiver position is, you know, deep this year at talent. I do believe they have some talented guys, but like the tight end position, it may not be as deep as it has been in previous years. But the tight end position is one position that, and we haven't talked about it. I don't know why. Maybe because, you know, I look at Chig and you know, is he a A1 starting tight end in this league? Probably he doesn't. No, he doesn't rank up there with the top tight end, so he's not that guy. I think he's a solid starter, but maybe they need more than just a solid starter at that position. But he still has the potential to develop to more than what he is now. So I'm not going to just label him as being a solid right now. He may turn out to be even better this year, one more year under that system. But the tight end position is interesting because if you look at, you know, throughout the league, you know, if you have a good rapport with your tight end, man, that does wonders for your quarterback. It's a short, a lot of times the shortest throw. A lot of times he's matched up with someone that's either slower than him or smaller than him. So he's a matchup problem, especially if he's one of those, you know, franchise to elite type tight ends. Travis Kelce, we know who they are in the NFL. So I would love if the Titans were in a position where they can get one of these top tight ends, whether it's Tyler Warren or Coastin Loveland, or Fannin out of Bowling Green, or the kid out of Miami who he played with, Elijah Arroyo, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Elijah Arroyo?
Yeah, Royal. One of those guys. I know they're not going to get Warren or Loveland because those guys are going to be, I think, top 20 picks. So they're not going to get those guys. But I think that second, in that second round, if you do move down and you do accumulate a little bit, some more picks, I'm not sure tight end if one of these top guys, top four guys is still available, say two of the top four guys, I don't know how you can pass them up, especially a guy that's played with Cam Ward. And you're still getting him at the spot that more than likely he was going to be drafted. So you're not reaching for a tight end. But if you get you a bona fide tight end, man, it will do wonders for the quarterback.
Well, Dylan asked about if there was a player who maybe could be drafted later.
And I was thinking Elijah Roar.
The tight end.
Yeah, the tight end.
The tight end. But what about Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver who played with Cam Ward? He has a 5th to 6th round grade, according to Dane Brugler of The Athletic. Now, you're hoping, you know, you're hoping for more, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for someone to put on your roster who is familiar with Cam Ward, Xavier Restrepo would qualify. Dane Brugler compares him to Julian Edelman.
I'm going after the tight end. I'm going if both of those guys are there in the even if
Arroyo is not going to be available, I don't think.
I'm saying if he's in the second round and it's not a reach, like if you move down.
He has a second round grade, according to
Dane. If you move down and you accumulate a pick to move down in this year's draft and he's still around, you got to think hard. You really do, because he is a playmaker. In today's NFL, guys like that are playmakers. They're elite guys or potentially can be. So there's having an elite tight end may be just as good as having a franchise wide receiver. Having that elite tight end may just be as good, or let's just say an elite receiver and an elite tight end, it may just be as good as having an elite receiver, depending on what team it is.
Arroyo, by the way, is Dane Brugler's 4th-ranked tight end with a second-round grade.
So if he's there, if I don't have to reach for him and I'm moving down, I'm not saying they're going to take him, but you got to think hard about, because he's a day one starter.
I hear Willie Donick has an Ask D-Mace question. Is this allowed? I'll allow it.
Okay, I have one. Based on our discussion, which was an awesome discussion in the first hour, and I would love for people to ask D-Mace about his experience. So mine would be, because it dawns on me with this whole Nico situation, that the key guy in this picture that didn't used to be in the picture, it used to be very hush-hush, and there were runners and all these things, but it now, basically, you have an agent. You sign with an agency, right? So, D-Mace, did you have the same agent your entire career?
No, I didn't. I started off with Agilio Dari right out of college. Was with him, a guy based out of Cincinnati. Was with him for 3 years. And then I switched to I just had his name on to my tongue. Tom Brady's agent. I had him for a year.
Don Yee.
I had Don Yee for a year. And then I switched again. So I had three different, people, but they all represented me at different stages of my career.
Did you have a relationship? Like,
yeah, I had a relationship.
Jerry Maguire, right? Yeah. That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Is the agent, and, what is he? And, he ends up having a relationship.
Yeah, so I had a relationship.
Did you have a good relationship with your agent?
Yeah, I had a better relationship with Lamont Smith and Peter Schaefer, who was my agents at the end. I had a better relationship with those guys. Because we were together longer than I did with Don Yee, because we were only together for a year. And then Agilio Dari, he and I were only together for 3 years, I believe. But Lamont and Peter were there with me for, I think, 10 years, probably even longer than that. So did you
trust the agents? Like,
yes.
You switched, obviously, for one reason or another.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reasons were, but did you trust them that they were doing right by you?
I trusted Peter and Lamont that they were looking out for my interest, and trying to, secure as much as they possibly could within a contract, but not, you know, making it team heavy or friendly. It was more so, yeah, these are the things, if you want some incentives there, but these are incentives that I'm going to get. So they tried to make sure that what they were doing for, listen, they're trying to get money to it. I get that. They got to get paid too, but they are trying to do what's best, you know, for me and my family, because we had built a relationship.
615-7.
Just rounding it back to Nico, that is my concern for some of these kids who are signing up with these agencies, because you just hit the key point, D-Mace. They're in the business for themselves. The more you make for your players, I mean, it's good for player movement. It's good for those agents. They're getting paid when they're moving around. So are they really looking out for your well-being? Like Jerry Maguire ends up kind of getting pulled into the life of, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr., right? I forget. What was his name in the movie? Cuba Gooding, the wide receiver?
I can't recall off the top of my head.
Why can't I remember? Oh, man. But it's kind of the human part, right, where it's not just about football, it's about life.
No, you're right.
So you introduce this into a kid's life at 19, 20, 20. Rod Tidwell. Nico's 20 years old.
Rod Tidwell,
yes. Show me the money, Jerry. But I mean, if that's what it's about at 20, that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing because, you know, that's where the agent's getting pulled. He's got to make money.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts. We've got loaded lines. We will get to them coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Let's continue. Ask D-Mace. Eric is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's been a while. I do have a dad joke. The last time I called in for a dad joke, I heard the Price is Right music. It was the first time that it ever happened to
And you got
to
bring it hard, Eric. You got to bring it.
Yeah. And a couple of times I called in after that, accidentally got hung up on, called back, and they never got back to me. Another time I was on hold, and they never got to me. So hopefully this is better. I'm still planning to call in as much as I can. I don't know if I'll be calling every week because I'm still trying to find a part-time job. So we'll see what happens.
Well, good.
I also have two-part question concerning Cam Ward, but here's my dad joke, and I hope it goes well. So, guys, have you heard that Apple is into the car manufacturing business? But have you heard the sales have been terrible? They didn't sell too well. You know why?
Why is that?
No windows.
I like that one.
Nice.
That was a good one.
I got to admit, that was one I heard, but I thought you might. Okay, here's my two-part question of Cam Ward. You guys may have heard this. So the first one, and I was surprised at this. I heard, I guess it was Lewis Riddick, and I guess the guy's name was Kevin Clark, were comparing Cam Ward. They're saying they think he's the next Patrick Mahomes. When I heard that, I was stunned to hear that. And I've also heard other people, the second part of the question, were talking about Cam Ward, and there were a lot of people comparing him to Steve McNair. And Derek, I just wanted to get you and Willie's thoughts on that. Had you heard that, and what are your thoughts on that? Guys, it's always good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for the call, Eric. So we discussed the Lewis Riddick, Patrick Mahomes thing yesterday. We actually talked about the Steve McNair comparison earlier in the week, and I'm not picking on Eric here, but what did I liken this Patrick Mahomes, Lewis Riddick thing to yesterday? A game of telephone.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Riddick, if I recall the clip correctly,
yeah,
did not say that Cam Ward's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes.
No, he didn't say that.
He did say that there were elements of Cam Ward's game that reminded him of Patrick Mahomes. But when you put those two names together, particularly Patrick Mahomes, it's a loaded situation. But your thoughts on the Cam Ward, Steve McNair, Patrick Mahomes comparisons of what?
I don't think that the game is different when it comes to Steve and Ward. I think the way they played the game, totally different, you know. And I'm not sure, are you just getting the comparison because of build, possibly. But I think Steve was probably a bigger person, just bigger in stature than Cam Ward is. And he's going to the Titans, so I get when, but I don't think it's accurate, not one bit. When you looked at the Patrick Mahomes thing, again, and I knew this was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And I heard it, you know, on our evening show, afternoon show. It was almost like the narrative was being turned into he said he was going to be Patrick Mahomes, or he is Patrick Mahomes. He didn't say was or is. He said, listen, the traits remind him of Patrick Mahomes. Some of the traits, and that's what we're looking for, right? Traits in, you know, his passing and things that he's doing on the field from a passing standpoint, and how he's not really a runner, but he can run and he can buy time and all this other stuff, and how he's throwing in different angles. That's something Patrick Mahomes doing. So he has this Patrick Mahomes trait. But Lewis, and he said, listen, if he turns out to be Patrick Mahomes, that'll be great. If. Keyword, if. He didn't say he will. He said he has trait and if. So how do we get from trait and if to he said he's going to be? Like,
I told
going
you,
to
it's,
be.
A, it's a game yeah. of telephone.
And that's the part that, like, I listen and I'm like, that's not what, no, you're changing one word. And when you change one word in the English language, we know it can change everything. That's why they tell you to take it to your lawyer, let him read it, comb through it with a fine-tooth comb, or go through it with a fine-tooth comb, because one word can change everything. And I mean everything. And I think that one word that was changed is an example of why when one guy says he has traits of and can potentially be or possibility to he will be or he is.
Willie, any thoughts?
Oh, no, this is Ask D-Mace. We need to keep going. We covered this. I completely agree. What you guys said is completely on. I could not add anything to that. Honestly.
All right, Jordan on our text line says, two-part question. One, if you were coming out in this draft, mm-hmm. what round do you think you would be drafted? And two, who would you want to be drafted to, or who did you think you were going to be drafted by? In 1997.
Do you think I would get on these airwaves and think I wouldn't be a first-round draft pick? Hell, I thought I should have been a first-round draft pick, you know, in 1997. So, you know, 37 years later, ain't going to make me change how I feel about my ability to play the game.
To answer Jordan's question, who did you think you were going to be drafted by in 1997?
I thought there was a high possibility it would either be Philly or Pittsburgh. I thought it was going to be those two teams. I've never, other than probably at the combine, and I remember talking to the Giants because that one was long. It seemed like they were drilling me with every question, and it just seemed, and that's what the Giants do with everybody. It just seemed like, well, that's the one I do like vaguely like, remember, but I talk with the Titans because one of their longtime guys recruited, you know, would come back to Michigan State all the time because they had their history of drafting Michigan State guys or whatnot. So, you know, they would come back and our talent was rich always. Not we probably didn't have a lot of it, but in those years you were going to find you some good talent at Michigan State. So, listen. Who would I want to be drafted by? Anybody, man. That's the way I felt then. That's the way I feel now. Anybody. That's why I say I should be a first-round draft pick. I don't care. And I don't care who drafts me because it's not, my brother told me, it's not where you go, it's what you do when you get there. I can play with any quarterback.
Well, we're glad you're here.
I can play, and I've shown and still produce. I could play with any quarterback.
By the way.
Good or bad.
One of your ex-quarterbacks still getting work, Joe Flacco,
yes,
signing today.
Amen, Joe.
Joe Flacco, roughly 60 years old at this point.
Joe still calculating that check. You know why? Because that arm still can throw through a hurricane.
What an interesting group of quarterbacks the Cleveland Browns have amassed. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and Deshaun Watson. What an interesting group that is.
They all are, what do you call them? Not outcasts, but castaways.
Castoffs.
Yeah, castoffs.
Well, here's a question. Here, I'll ask this question. Who's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in week one of those three quarterbacks?
Ooh.
I don't think it can be Deshaun Watson.
I think it's Joe Flacco. I think it's Joe Flacco.
I think so, too.
I think Joe, yeah.
Joe owns that town. He's a hero. Remember, he got him to the playoffs.
Yeah, until he's,
everyone was talking about
until
Joe
he started throwing interceptions. And then that's
he owns that
saying.
Town even as a Raven.
Yeah, he will get you. He's sort of like Jameis Winston somewhat, but not to that extreme. Not to that extreme. But Joe will, he'll light you up for four touchdowns, but he will throw two interceptions, too.
He has thrown a few.
Yeah, he may throw you a few interceptions, too. And they may go back to the end zone.
Maybe.
Yeah, just maybe.
Just
but,
sometimes.
But, hey, Joe's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I mean, did great things in Baltimore. And he helped my career along, you know, when I was there with him for those three years. So I'm always going to think highly of Joe.
Let's wrap up quickly with Jerry on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Dimesh, you like Hallmark or those type of movies. Mm-hmm. If you could create your own movie, who would play you and who would be the supporting cast using your personalities around you?
Oh, man.
Morris Chestnut. Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm a big Morris Chestnut fan, but also, but everybody wants Denzel to play them. Like,
right.
It's like, but listen, no, Denzel's not playing me. Everybody wants Denzel to play. I don't care, black, white, you would love for Denzel.
He's a popular guy.
He's a popular guy, yeah. Or George Clooney, somebody like that.
Or Idris Elba.
Exactly. You want that guy to represent you. But I know that's not going to happen, even though I would love that.
Omar Epps.
I would think somebody like Morris Chestnut. You know, not Omar Epps. Nah,
Morris Chestnut. Also a little bit. D-Base is higher than Omar Epps.
Idris,
hey, no disrespect to Omar Epps.
No disrespect. He's good.
Will Smith.
Is top level.
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs. Somebody,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, somebody like that. You know, I can see.
But what would the movie be about?
It would be, I don't know. I don't know. It would be a rom-com.
Of course it would be. All Hallmark movies
it would be
are rom-coms.
No, but I like Hallmark movie, but I'm just saying. He just made it seem like I do like Hallmark movies, but what movie would, like, what would be the premise of the movie? But it would be a rom-com, so it would be shown on Hallmark and every other channel. That's first and foremost.
You know, you're the retired.
Yeah.
You're the retired NFL player
yeah.
who moves back to a small town.
There we
after
go.
After a successful career.
It's on a Christmas tree farm.
But you're feeling a little aimless because football's all you've known
exactly.
your whole life.
Exactly.
And you bump into your old flame at the local coffee shop, and which is about to be foreclosed by some evil person. Some major corporation is going to come in and buy this coffee shop.
And her boyfriend is like the person who...
Exactly. He's a part of the whole group that's gonna buy out, you know, the coffee shop that
right.
we all love,
and you get the town to come together, and you host a coat drive or something.
I like it.
And you steal the girl at the end.
You get the town, get the girl. I'm good.
And then it starts snowing.
Yes,
in July.
Josh on our text line says Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart's about 5 inches too short to play.
Yeah,
Garrett.
And I'm not that. I think I'm funny at times. My kids would beg to differ, but I don't think I'm.
Your
Kevin
mileage
Hart
may
funny.
Vary on how funny you
exactly.
actually think Kevin Hart is.
Yeah, you're right about
to be
that
honest
too.
With you.
But I think as a whole.
Okay. I have one more suggestion for a Hallmark movie. This was by one of our colleagues. We had a fun discussion in Dallas after all of the rain and the flooding in the western part of the neighborhood. So Hal Gill lives in the western part of town, right? So there was a lot of stories about people couldn't get to their house, right? Because of the roads were blocked, right? Because of the flood. So they literally couldn't get home. So we made up a story, a Hallmark movie about Hal, where his daughter's boyfriend couldn't get home to his house because the roads were blocked. And so he had to stay at Hal's house with his daughter. And so it was from the perspective of the dad whose daughter's boyfriend has to sleep over and how that would go over for the dad.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't go over well with me.
I was going to say it wouldn't go over
no
well with me.
No way.
But that was funny. They're like, well, why? Like the suggestion, like, hey, my daughter's boyfriend can't get back to his house. Well, somebody at the table said, well, why don't they just stay at your house? And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But that would be a hilarious movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Hal did quickly point out that it may turn from a Hallmark movie into more of a thriller slasher movie.
Oh, man, I don't think I want a thriller slasher movie.
Turn dark. It could go a number of different ways.
Hal, you're going to.
I'm thinking with
my rom-com.
I'm going to workshop some titles of this movie during the break. 615-737-1025. Thank you for your participation in Ask D-Mace. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I've been meaning to get to this topic for a couple of days because it's something that made Jared mad, and we all like to talk about things that make Jared mad. So we're going to do that next at 615-737-1025. The Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators and 1025 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena this coming Wednesday, April 16th, for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be awesome giveaways like a chance to win Braves tickets to the game of your choice every 30 minutes. Plus Braves hats, t-shirts, and autographed baseballs. The first 15 people in the door will also win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events.